with us on this All Saints Day. All Saints Day is the day in which we take time to commemorate the lives of the saints of this church who've gone on before us this year. And we do so lighting a candle and remembering their good deeds, knowing that they're rejoicing with the Lord even now. And so we have that today, and what a joy it'll be. All adults are invited to attend Bible study, which meets tonight at 6 o'clock. Please join us. We're doing a series called Navigating Family Conflicts. So if you have any of those, and I think we all do, this is a particularly fruitful lesson. Cook's Garage Sale will be held in the Fellowship Hall next Saturday, November 9th, and the sale hours are from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Please spread the word to all your friends and neighbors. Please, if you have any questions, see Jeannie McClure. Yes, ma'am. Please do.
We will start set up in the morning at 8:15. So if we have anybody who would like to help, if you don't want to, we need your help. So we will be doing it all, setting up all week long, but we're going to start the initial process every morning at around 8:15.
That starts this week, so tomorrow at 8:15 there'll be
people.
Okay, so if you've got some time in the morning, we've got a lot of stuff over in Rowan Hall that needs to get moved and set up into the Fellowship Hall. So say that again. Okay, yeah, so let's make sure we help that endeavor. 8:15 in the mornings is the call, and so please feel free to join us then. Help us to give a Christmas present to a child overseas that normally would not receive one through Operation Christmas Child. Collection dates are now through November 22nd. We've got a partial list of some of the suggested items and even some boxes if you need them. The rose at the altar this morning is to say congratulations to Rachel and Austin Miles on the birth of their daughter, Emerin Renee. Emerin was born on Sunday, October 27th at 12:35, and she weighed 7 pounds, 5 ounces, and is 19 inches long. Levi is the big brother, and Mike and Deanna Stanford are the proud grandparents. May God bless this family with many years of good health, lots of love, and an abundance of joy. And I also heard an exciting delivery at home, right? That's a story we want to hear, so what a joy. Beautiful flowers in our sanctuary today are in memory of our parents, Wiley and Madeline Duckworth and Fred and Isabel Parker by Dolores and Rick Green. And they are particularly lovely today, so we look and thank them for that. Those are the announcements that I have this morning. Are there any other announcements that need to come to the church's attention at this time? Okay, that being the case, let us open our hearts and minds to the worship of the Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Praise the Lord. Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments.
Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed.
Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever.
They rise in the darkness as a light for the upright. They are gracious, merciful, and righteous. Let us continue in prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, we gather in awe of your greatness and in gratitude of your boundless love. As we enter into worship this morning, open our hearts to the power of your presence. Let your spirit move among us, stirring our soul to see your glory, to hear your voice, and to respond with lives transformed by your light. Break through the walls that divide us, bringing healing where there is hurt, and fill us with courage to walk in your truth. May our songs, prayers, and words honor you, and may your light shine through us as we go forth renewed by your grace. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We come now into a time of remembrance. We remember the saints of the church as they've gone before us into glory with God. We do so with a solemn and poignant reminder of lighting a light to them in the sanctuary today to symbolize the life that was lost, but to remember always that the life is continuing, held in the most tender embrace by a loving God who is with us today and forever. And so we come to the church this morning remembering names and inviting the family to come forward and light a candle. Today, our first remembrance is for Annie Lucky. Our second remembrance today is for Lyle Pace. Our third remembrance today is for Sarah Penninger. Our fourth remembrance today is of Tom McClure. Our fifth remembrance today is of Jack Parker. Our sixth remembrance today is of Pat Hager. Our seventh remembrance today is of Jill Griffin. As you see these candles burn, remember that these are dearly beloved loved ones of members of your congregation. So it is always right and fitting to continue to lift up in prayer, not the members who have passed, because we believe those people are perfectly with the Lord now and need nothing, not even our prayers. But we pray for the ones who are left behind. We pray for the men and the women, the husbands and wives, the brothers and sisters, the sons and daughters of the ones that have passed, remembering that their lives continue, that they are not lost forever, that we indeed have a God that calls us beloved children. And as beloved children, we're guaranteed an inheritance, and that inheritance is the kingdom of God. And so as we see these lights to this morning, let us remember the lives that they symbolize. Let us remember the love that was shared with and through them. And let us continue to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, seeking to finish our race with grace and aplomb. In the name of Jesus Christ, we make these prayers this day. Amen. I invite you all now to rise and join me in the singing of our first hymn, Come Ye Thankful People. Do our best. We try, we struggle, we labor, and yet we still find ourselves sometimes falling on our faces in sin. But what we can rejoice in knowing is that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But that if we confess our sin, the good news is that God who hears us will cleanse us from any and all unrighteousness. So in humility and in faith, we come before the Lord confessing our shortcomings, reminded we encounter not his condemnation, but his amazing grace as we do so. Join me as we pray the words of the prayer of confession found in this morning's bulletin. Join me as we pray. Merciful God, we confess that we have strayed from your ways and turned from your love. We have neglected the needs of others and trusted in our own strength. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Friends, I declare to you this wonderful and glorious news, that by the waters of our baptism, we've been washed of any uncleanliness and unrighteousness, and have been embraced by a God that has promised us not only abundant life now, but eternal life in the kingdom of God. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven forever and ever. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the
let us sing what it is we believe.
Be seated, and at this time we'd like to invite the kids and youth to come forward for a time that's just for them.
Everybody here? Well, good morning. Kind of wondering why I'm wearing a shirt today. What's going on this week? Anybody know what's happening Tuesday?
Election.
The elections. That's right. It's our patriotic duty to vote, right? The scripture today that Jason's going to speak of is walking in grace. Just as Christ loved you and gave of himself for us. All right, let's hold that thought for a minute. What gives us our freedom in this country? What do we follow? The Constitution? What's the first Constitution read? What's the first parable? First Amendment, excuse me.
First Amendment, freedom of speech.
Exactly. It's the freedom the government shall respect no establishment of religion or prohibit the free exercise thereof, or abridge the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for any redress of grievance. Basically means you got the freedom to speak your mind. You have the freedom to say what you want to believe. But let's see what Scripture tells us. Do not be immoral, impure. Persons never be greedy, for a person who does will never inherit the kingdom of Christ or God. Do not deceive from empty words or partake of them. Don't repeat lies. So while the Constitution gives us the freedom of speech, Scripture gives us the perception to be correct, to only tell what God is saying is truthful. Don't repeat the lies. If you're watching the news, you can't help but see, I hate to say lies, but mistruths. The news media is misguiding us all this week. You can watch somebody say something, and 30 minutes later, it hits the spin room, and they're going to completely tell us something different than what we just saw. Is that truthful? No. They're lying to us because they have a political belief. They have a greed that Scripture tells us. Don't be greedy. The First Amendment gives us the right to free speech. But the Scripture tells us, but all things not become visible when they are exposed, will become visible when they are exposed to light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For the reason it is said, awake, sleeping, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine his light on you. What he's saying is, let the light of truth guide you this week. Let the Lord's show you what is true and make that decision on that guidance. The first thing you ought to do when you think of voting this week, and I know you guys don't vote yet, you're not there yet, but think about it. What should be the first thing when you go on the ballot you should vote for this week? God. Second is country. Because without God, we don't have this country. It will be gone. Okay, so think about that. Every time you vote and make a decision, everything in your daily life, God should come first. Let us pray. Dear God, it is a critical week. We need your guidance. We pray for your guidance. And we pray for the light of God to shine upon this nation. Amen. Okay.
of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, light of the world. Christ, He is our King of Kings. Messiah, He's the light of the world. He is our Redeemer, so I will sing. Messiah, He's the light of the world. We will walk in the light, the beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, light of the world. Christ, the highest heaven adored. Jesus, He's the light of the world. Christ, the everlasting Lord. Jesus, our light of the world. We will walk in the beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, light of the world.
That's one talented kid, isn't it? It's amazing. We're so blessed. We come now into a time of reading and proclaiming God's words, and we always begin with a prayer for illumination. So let us begin there. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray that you would now speak afresh to us in a new voice, in a new way. Awaken our hearts and minds to resonate with your word and its proclamation, so that we might know your will for us, and you would give us the power to carry that out by the working of your Holy Spirit. So bless us now, informing us, guiding us, leading us, shining a lamp unto our feet so that we might know what direction to head. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to be reading Psalm 32, and it's on the screen behind me and also on page 549 in your pew Bible. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is there no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. All day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my inquiry. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not, like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the ones who trust in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, your righteousness, sing all you who are upright in heart. This is the Lord's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. We continue in our study in Ephesians, turning our pages now to Ephesians 5, where I'll read verses 1 through 14. I invite you now to hear the word of our Lord. Follow God's examples, therefore, as dearly beloved children, and walk in a way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes the light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. That's a tough passage to read of Scripture. Some are easier than others. This one, you're definitely in your high grade. But that's why there has been so much material before this in Ephesians, before Paul turns his lens to what we do next. And it really is that simple of a passage if we break it down. It's not terribly difficult. It's first to recognize that we are dearly beloved children of God. And second of all, from that, we recognize that we are to be a pleasing aroma of sacrifice to God ourselves. You know, I don't know why, I got to think about that pleasing aroma this week, and I couldn't get my mind off of it. And so I began to think, what would my pleasing aroma to God smell like if I was doing things right how would that smell? And I've got a place in mind that I'm betting that you guys can probably guess. You know me. You know what I like. There is a place in this earth that I think smells like heaven, and you can go there today. I'm not kidding. It's Krispy Kreme, right? Yeah. The people that know me know my love of donuts and know when I walk in that place, I take in a big whiff because it just smells so good. So I got to thinking about that as being a pleasing aroma to God. And I got to wondering what would my life look like if that was my goal, to be that pleasing to God. And it began to make me realize that this passage said so much to me in the first two verses that I might miss it if I overlook it. It's so easy to get off the beat and path when we read Scripture. But this passage really is very simple. We are beloved children of God, and that means something in the way that we live our lives. It really is. That's the point and the purpose of this passage. And there are things that we do, and there are things that we don't do. There's things that we embrace, and there are things that we run away from. But we are beloved children of God, and that means something just that beyond the words that are uttered. It means that our life and our actions are all brought into the light by Jesus Christ. And this passage is a call to live a more holier life than we've been living, because our nature is something that we often overlook. Our nature, our being, who we are existentially, who we are cosmically in this universe, are beloved children of God. And that means something. It certainly does. I remember when, you know, Natalie and I started out, we said we wanted kids, but there gets to be a point in a relationship where you need to make that a reality through a decision. And I can remember as Natalie and I weighed the thought of having a child, how pressing it was upon us to make sure that we had enough love between us, because that's what really makes it possible, is to have that kind of love. So I wonder, and I know the answer, is that God, ahead of our creation, he tells us this in the Bible, before the foundations of the earth, that God called us by name and chose to love us. That's before any of this shooting gallery started. God made a deliberate and willful choice to call your name and to inscribe it in the book of life forever. That's what the Bible tells us, that we are beloved children of God. Not just children, but beloved children. And this isn't the only passage in the Scriptures in the New Testament where it does it. There are multiple attestations of this. I'm just going to read three to you today. First, from John 1, verses 12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Romans 8, 16 and 17. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs with God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. And the final reading comes to us from 1 John, the third chapter, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. These passages, and there are a great many others, assume for us an identity. The identity is to be beloved children of God. That means that the world around us, in God's way, was created for our sustenance and for our purpose, and not the other way around. We are the driving force behind creation by God's word in Genesis 1. We are beloved children of God, and that means something very vital to us. First of all, it means our identity is secure. Now, I don't know if you've ever had to deal with this yourself, but I've had a couple of friends, one in particular, who've had big parts of their lives wrecked by ID theft. Somebody came in and took their identity and got their social security number and filled out credit accounts in their names and got power in apartments under their name. And it was a real bugbear to try to unravel. And sometimes, you know, we think our identity is fixed, and then some things come into our life that change it. You see, sin has the ability to change our lives, to make us go from thinking about ourselves as beloved children of God to something else. So sin can come in and really wreck us, showing us not that we are these beloved children, but rather illuminating for us all the many ways that we fall short of God's glory. And that can deviate us from the path. We can forget that we are indeed beloved children of God. It also means that nothing can ever take away our inheritance. Now, the Bible speaks about our inheritance both as a present reality and a future expectation. As it speaks to us about our present reality, it uses terms like abundant life. We who are called by Jesus Christ experience the fullness of what life is like on this side of eternity. Why? Because we're aligning ourselves with the creator of life on this side of eternity. That's why. And when we do so, we find our lives growing in grace and in wonders. And it means also, so we have the future, we have the present reality, which is an abundant life in Jesus Christ that he gives us through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the power that allows us to put down what we think we want to do on a Saturday and come up here to the church and do a fall festival for a bunch of kids like we did a couple of weeks ago. It's the energy and the impetus to shine the light of Jesus Christ brightly in the world. And that's exactly what it means to have a safe and abundant life now. But the Bible also speaks about our inheritance as a future hope. We will live and dwell in the kingdom of God. And it reminds of this on multiple occasions. Ephesians earlier, Paul writes this: "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." 1 Peter also gets us to our eternal inheritance. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you." Having a secure identity means that your future is secure as well. It also means that in times of discord or in trouble, you have a God that you know is not off distant in the cosmos, but is instead actively participating with you by the power of the Holy Spirit to bring your life into a new level of joy and expectation of the kingdom of God. Being secure in your identity is what being as a beloved children of God means, that you don't reduce yourself to your mistakes. You know, one of the things that I see very clearly when I go and do Kairos prison ministry is a group of men who, for perhaps good reasons, have reduced themselves to what they've done wrong. The state, in some way, has done that for good reason. But it's not good for their souls to think that they are completely lost and without remorse. And what I've seen is when this message of hope and redemption floods into their life, it brings light like nothing else. I remember my first real friendship that I forged at Kairos Prison Ministry was with a young man named Ryan. Now, Ryan was, at the very beginning of the weekend, very withdrawn and not very participatory. But he and I got to talk. The young man had been addicted to methamphetamines and in the course of 48 hours had robbed with a gun three convenience stores. Those are weighty crimes in the state of South Carolina. And he was afforded a 17-year sentence in the state's penitentiary. And as I met him, that's what he kept coming back to, was that he had done this thing and that he was serving this time and that was all that he was. But as the message of Jesus Christ shined around him, and that good news that we can't be reduced to our mistakes, we are instead beloved children of God, and nothing can rob us of that identity, it connected with that young man, and literally his life turned around in some really amazing ways. When we get that feeling, when we understand ourselves not being just the failures of our lives, but instead being beloved children of God, we find new confidence welling up within us because we are not, as I've said, a reduction of past misdeeds. We are instead the children of grace. God, who has chosen to love us, has also chosen to forgive us in our shortcomings and in our unrighteousness, and has chosen to love us nevertheless. Jesus Christ laid his life down for us, showing us forevermore the depth and nature of what real self-emptying love looks like. It was what Jesus Christ himself did for us and for our salvation. It is the fullness of grace. Second, being a beloved child means that our lives are rooted in a relationship of love and trust and in nothing else. I'll never forget being down in Whiteville. I lived in Whiteville for a very brief time doing a radio internship. And it was there I met a little cat. Her name was originally Silver Threads. But as she got to know me a little bit better and really got to liking cat food a lot, she got kind of portly, so I changed her name to Chunky Monkey. Her name was Chunky Monkey. I met Chunky Monkey in Whiteville, North Carolina. She had had a litter of kittens, and I was able to give the kittens away, but no one wanted the mother, and so the mother kind of became mine. But I want to tell you that that cat lived and operated with me in a way that was different from other cats. She was much more like a dog, I think because she knew who had rescued her from this life of being outdoors and not very good. She always stayed close to my side. And in fact, for a while, if the door to the outside opened, she would run behind me to not make sure that nobody would get out. She was that confident in her love of me and what I had done for her. And I think about that. I want to be God's Chunky Monkey in some ways. I want to know that for certain that God has saved my life and has redeemed me from sin, which I believe he has. And that means that I am, by the power of the Holy Spirit, dedicated to him in some ways that are awesome. That means that when we have a loving relationship with Jesus Christ, we have a strength that nothing can rob from us, nothing at all. I'll never forget when having good parents is a very good way to understand this. And I remember at a time feeling very called to go into the ministry, but there was one glaring problem. How was I going to fund it, right? I didn't know how. But then, thankfully, my parents offered me the opportunity to come and live with them, which vastly reduced my living expenses, which allowed me to go to college and finish up my degree and then go on to seminary. And it dawned on me this week that as good as my parents are and as kind as they were, God is even greater. God is even bigger than that. God has a greater love for you than you can even imagine sometimes. And you can go to God because your life, as I said, is secure and rooted in this relationship with God. You can go to God in the difficult times of your life and ask for things and find yourself not only blessed by the asking, but blessed in the receiving. God is there for you. And you will know that as you come into times of trial and you find that your relationship is tested, you will find that it is strong and it is beyond the break being broken because you've taken the time to really increase your love of the Lord and the Lord has filled you with his fruit of the Holy Spirit. So being a child of God means that our faith, that our life is determined by God, and that we have a loving parent who will never leave us, never forsake us. That means that our love is not determined by the God's love. Finally, being a beloved child of God means that our worth is determined by God's love and not anything else in the world. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I can be a very comparative person. I can look around and say that person has more, he's doing better than I am. Or she's doing better than I am. And that can slowly rob at us because we're told what? Not to envy. But envy creeps in somehow and robs us of our identity of being a beloved child of God. But we find that the Holy Spirit comes and convicts us again otherwise because we have these strong relationships with the Lord Jesus Christ. My worth isn't determined by my checking account, neither is yours or by the number of friends. You are God's child, and nothing can ever take that away from you. You know, I have a friend that's lost. I have several, and they probably pray for me like I'm lost, so I think it's probably a two-way street, right? But I'll never forget being at his father's funeral, and he looked at me, and he was just joking in kind of a way, but there was a seriousness about the moment, obviously. And I was telling him about the worth he had in God. And he said, my worth is reduced to my frequent flyer status. He looked at life like everything was a material possession, and he was defined by what his stature was with American Airlines. It was a kind of a depressing realization. We do not mark or measure ourselves by those silly standards. We are instead beloved children of God who are called to not only be holy, but to shine the light of Jesus Christ around us to the world. That's the second part of this passage, these first two verses. The first part grounds us in this identity, that our lives are entirely God's, that our identity is forged and kept safe by him. And that means there's an eternal safety to our personality. I didn't mention that, but I think I should. Some religions believe that you come back again. We do not. That would mean if we came back again, our identity wasn't fixed. But our identity is fixed by God. God called us by name and wrote our names in the book of life. We are defined as beloved children of God, and nothing can ever take that away from us. And when you really get that, when you really understand how good a thing is to be loved by God, it will change you. I've seen it change countless lives, my own, I hope, on a daily basis. Because the love of God is that good. And it calls us, when we realize it, to become imitators of God. What does that mean, imitators? Well, whenever I think of an imitator, my mind always goes to Rich Hall. I know I'm dating myself on that. Does anybody remember Rich Hall? He was a famous impersonator and could do just about anybody under the sun. He was really kind of something else. Well, in a way, we're called to imitate someone. We're called to imitate God, which we can do through reading more and more about Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're called to be imitators of God. And that is what the passage directs us to, is to pour out our lives as a libation for others. We do so because we recognize our beloved status with God. And in that awareness, we seek to do exactly what Jesus Christ did. And what did Jesus Christ do? Well, he laid down his life for us and for our salvation. So it alerts us to the fact that we're called to do likewise. We're called to shine the light of Jesus Christ around the world with whatever we've got, however we've got, whenever we've got the time to do it. And sometimes when we don't, we should be doing it anyway. To be a pleasing aroma to God, to be Krispy Kreme to God, requires us to know more about Jesus. Where do we learn more about Jesus? Well, in the Bible. And specifically, if you want to learn more about what Jesus would have us do and be, I always recommend turning to chapters 5 through 7 of the Gospel of Matthew and really steeping yourself in the Sermon on the Mount. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ tells us how to emulate him. And it's a hard and high calling. But it's the hard and high calling of beloved children. You see, there's a little bit of a responsibility placed upon us to have such a lavish gift, and that is to live like children of the light. That's what Paul is telling us in the latter part of this passage. Don't lapse back into former things, but instead stay true to what Jesus has taught you, to be faithful to God through the power of the Holy Spirit, and you will find your life magnifying with joy. Magnifying with joy because God is in your life by the power of the Holy Spirit, moving you, changing you, allowing you to be the person God created you to be. Because there was a time in which God knit together the bones of your body and made you a person and sent you into this world to represent him as a dearly beloved child whose identity is safe and secure forever and ever. And we never worry about our future because we know our inheritance is kept safe in heaven, waiting for us forever and ever. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer as we lift up to the God of our understanding that we know through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, the incidences and things that weigh upon us in worry and in fret. We pray for his wisdom, for his strength, his guidance, and most especially for his intervention. So let us now participate in this high and wondrous calling of prayer by praying to God. Join me. Wonderful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, We just rejoice that you're bringing us into yet another day and giving us an extra hour of sleep to enjoy it. Father God, we appreciate you, the fullness of you. We appreciate this day, and we are thankful for our ability to gather together by the power of your Holy Spirit to find fellowship and love. Father God, in that fellowship and love, we encounter others who are living lives as we are, who encounter things that go bump in the night. And so we pray for those folks as they encounter their difficulty. We pray especially for Frank Norris today and for Susie Hager. We pray for Whitey Ridenour and Nancy Smith. We pray for Charlie McCrary and Ronnie Peterson. We pray for Ellen Jackson and Sharon Gilmore. We continue our prayers for the many flood victims of Hurricane Helene and others, and we pray for all of the names on our prayer list and our intercessory prayer list. We make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now let's take a moment to either give electronically or reflect upon the sermon. Please rise. We are beloved children of God, called to live our lives as a pleasing aroma of sacrifice to God. May we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, do that with all that we are able to today, tomorrow, and until the kingdom comes. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and forever. Amen.